You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
What's your favorite scary movie?
What's the boogeyman?
You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish, understand?
Showtime.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast. We are at Spookala in Tampa. This is the second day, and I am joined with a very special guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I am Sean Clark, host of Horror's Hallowed Grounds, co-host of the Thing with Two Heads podcast, my YouTube channel, Malfunction. And do a lot of other stuff, collection videos and stuff like that.
You've been in the game for a long time.
I'm old. It's true.
Where does your love for horror come from?
I don't know. Just ever since I was a little kid, as far back as I can remember, my parents liked horror films. They were young when they had me, so like 17 and 18. So they liked horror movies. They took me to horror movies. I never really thought it was weird or out of the usual, you know. Didn't really understand them at first, but I just always had a fascination with the dark side.
With the dark side. No, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Where are you based out of?
Orange County, California.
Okay. Yeah. Did you ever think you would be where you're at today?
Absolutely not. No, I never thought I was going to be in this business, you know, in having a job or a career that evolved around my love of horror. I had aspirations to be a musician.
I could tell that.
Rock star was the dream, you know, and I did the band thing for about, I don't know, from the very late 80s, like my first record I put out was in like 1989, and then did that up till about around 2002, I kind of realized it wasn't going to happen.
Okay.
Did a few records, few bands, got real close. It just wasn't in the cards. And, you know, in hindsight, I have friends that have been in platinum, you know, selling bands, and one of which I turned down playing drums for before they got big.
You kick yourself for that?
I kicked myself back then, but even one of those band members said to me fairly recently, you know what, I think you did pretty good.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Because I think I'm doing better now than they are, kind of
right.
thing, you know what I mean? So, no regrets. I mean, it would have been fun. That lifestyle would have been fun. It would have been fun to experience. But I got a taste of it when I used to do it, you know? So, and it's funny is, dealing with celebrities, you know, because that's my job. But
you're an agent.
Convention All Stars is my company, and I manage celebrities for you know, all these conventions and stuff like that. You know, half of the people here I brought. You know, I see, especially working with some of my big clients, guys like Matthew Lillard or Norman Reedus or Ozzy Osbourne, and you see how they really don't have a second free to themselves. They can't walk through a room and be left alone, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm glad I'm not in that position.
Right.
I mean, I have my own fan base. It's moderate. And when I'm at a convention like this, a horror convention, I do get stopped a lot.
Right.
But it's nice to know that I can go to the grocery store and not be like, excuse me,
right,
every 5 minutes. Although it happens occasionally, rarely, you know, and it always catches me off guard when I'm somewhere that's not at a horror convention and somebody goes, hey, man, I love your YouTube channel. And I'm like, oh, hi, you know.
Wow, you know me, yeah.
Yeah, it's flattering, and I really appreciate it, and I appreciate anybody that comes up and wants to say hi or whatever. But I can't imagine what it must be like for somebody like Norman Reedus that is, like, literally can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I've worked with him before Walking Dead,
right.
So I watched it happen, and I remember, like, back in the day, the Boondock Saints days,
yes,
when we would go to a restaurant and then I would see somebody recognize him, and I would like go, hey Norman, that guy over there knows who you are. And I'd get a kick out of it. Now it was like, oh, Jesus Christ, can we just leave him alone, man? We're just trying to eat, you know?
Right, yeah.
It gets to be a point where it, even for me, who's hanging out with him,
it's
a burden. You're just like, God, can we just have a moment?
Yeah. You know? Are you still pretty close to him?
Yeah, we're actually going to a show in Osaka, Japan in about 3 weeks.
Osaka, Japan.
Yeah.
How did you actually start your business?
It all kind of happened by accident.
Okay.
I didn't intend to do any of this. You know, I was a fan going to conventions. This is like late 80s, like 88, 89. And I started becoming friendly with promoters and vendors and some of the celebrities. And I just kind of got into that circle. And then I think I started vending at shows occasionally. What really started it for me was I was one of the people that put on the very first Halloween convention, the 25 Years of Terror convention.
I was going to bring that up.
From that, one of my responsibilities was finding Halloween celebrities that would attend.
Okay.
I wasn't an agent. I was just a guy trying to help put on a convention. And so... I called people and, you know, I kind of got the feel for it. And after that, a couple people were like, hey, that was pretty cool, you know, are there more of these? And can you help me get in another one of these? And I did. And then I started to kind of realize there was something there. I wasn't looking at it as a job,
like right.
something I was going to make money at.
Right.
I was thinking, this is something that can get me into conventions for free.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I just liked going to conventions. So I kind of started doing it only to basically go to conventions for free. I'm like, oh my God, they'll fly me in and put me up in a hotel if I bring the celebrity. I was like, dude, I'm in.
This is great. Yeah.
Yeah. How sign me up. And then the crazy thing happened. As I kept building it, I started to actually make decent money.
Okay.
And got more. And then it got more, and then I found myself sitting at work. At the time, I was a loan officer in the mortgage business.
Really? Okay. Wow. What a
suit and tie job. But since I was a loan officer, I was kind of sort of self-employed, where you know you make what you how hard you work. You
right.
know? And so I would go into work, and I found myself going into work every day, sitting at my computer, and just doing convention stuff and
okay.
not working on loans. And I had to take a step back and go, why are you here? Like, you know, you're not putting the time and effort into the mortgage business. You're putting more time into this. Maybe you should just walk away from this and really focus on this.
Right.
So I had to make the hard decision, you know, am I going to walk away from this? And at the time, when I did it, I had just written and produced a film that was being made.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I got this movie that's about to be made, and I really want to be on set every day, and I want to focus on that. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to bail out of this. I'm going to go all in on the movie, all in on the conventions, and really try to make this happen.
Yeah. What was the movie?
It was called The Black Waters of Echo's Pond.
Okay.
It starred Daniel Harris, Robert Patrick, James Duvall.
Actually think I've heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing special. It's okay. It was, first thing I ever got made, but it got in theaters.
Yeah,
it actually got a theatrical release. Blew me away. Didn't deserve one.
Okay.
It should have been straight to DVD, but Anchor Bay eventually put it out on DVD and Blu-ray, so you can find it out there.
You still get any royalties off of it?
Dude, I was a first-time writer. I mean, I was lucky to get paid. I got paid a flat fee.
With doing this, how did the strike affect you?
The strike actually helped me because
all the studios were shut down.
Yeah, all these actors were free and they weren't making any money. So a lot of people were like, hey, get me more shows. Or people that weren't willing to originally do shows were like willing to give it a shot. So the strike for me was a good thing.
Okay. Well, okay. What shows do you look forward to?
Conventions?
Conventions, I should say.
Well, this is one of them, Spookala. This is a great show, and Deej that runs it's a friend. He's a great dude. My favorite show is Horror Hound in Cincinnati. That's hands down my favorite show.
Okay.
Probably my second favorite show is probably Texas Frightmare.
I want to go to that so bad.
Yeah, Texas Frightmare is an awesome show. I really enjoy Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
I've applied to that one, but it's in New Jersey. Yeah. And I'm going to PopCon in like 2 weeks. And I think driving to Indiana is a long drive. But can you imagine driving from Florida to New Jersey?
Oh, boy.
That's
Have you ever done Whorehound Cincinnati?
You know, I'm from Indianapolis, and I've been there as a patron, but I've never vended there. But it's on the list.
Yeah, well, I mean, have you been to the one in Cincinnati? You haven't been to the one in Cincinnati?
I have. Okay. I've been there one time as a guest.
How
there.
How long ago?
Oh, it was when I was in Ball State, so probably 10 years ago.
Were they in the convention center yet, or were they still in the hotel across the street?
They were still in the hotel.
Oh, yeah, it's a totally different game. I mean, there's a convention center, which they even just added to. It's even bigger now. Hands down, it's the biggest horror con in the world. I mean, size-wise and everything.
Tampa Jay. He just did a video on it. Yeah. I was looking at that, and I was like, oh, man, that's definitely on the list.
Yeah.
When you're booking a show like this, how do you pick the celebrities?
Well, I don't. The promoters do.
Okay.
So the promoters tell me who they want. All I can do is make suggestions.
Okay.
You know, like if they say, oh, I want this guy, I can say, well, you know, this person goes well with that because of, and this is, you know, I pitch, you know, try to help out. Yeah, because, you know, that's one thing is, like, fans will write me on social media and be like, dude, bring so-and-so to, oh, bring Tom Atkins to Spookala. And I'll be like, well, I can't just bring Tom Atkins to Spookala. Spookala has to want Tom Atkins, you know what I mean?
Right.
Which he's been here, but.
Right.
Just using that as an example. It's not for me to decide.
Right.
Believe me, all my clients want to come to conventions.
Right.
It's the promoters that have to want the client.
Right. You know? It's kind of like a hip-hop show. You have the promoters of the show promoting the concert. You have Nelly or T.I. performing, and then they go out and help with that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to break it down so people understand.
I'm like Flavor Flav. I'm the hype man.
Yes.
Yeah, so, for fans that want to get a certain celebrity, a certain show, the best thing for you, the fan, to do is to message the social medias of the convention and request that person. Say, hey, bring Tom Atkins to the show. And those promoters, they read those comments. And, you know, if they get enough people saying, yeah, bring him, then I'll get a call from Deej saying, hey, Sean, we should bring Tom Atkins next time. You know, that's how it works.
Right.
So
you brought up earlier in the interview the Halloween show.
Yeah.
How was it? We wanted to go to that so bad, but we just couldn't make it.
Well, which one do you mean? The 45th?
The 45th.
The 45th was insane. I mean, it's gotten, every year it's gotten bigger and bigger. Like the 25th, as cool as that was being a landmark event that happened and the documentary we did that, you know, came out of that, 25 Years of Terror, it's all cool, but in reality that show was so small.
Right.
And it really wasn't much of anything. It was just a stepping stone to bigger things.
Okay.
You know, the 30th got bigger. The 35th got bigger. The 40th got really big. The 45th, the 45th was as big as this.
You know,
bigger,
yeah.
Maybe. Bigger, I think. So, I mean, it's crazy how big it's gotten. From the 30th, I had two partners in the original 25th.
Okay.
I parted ways with them.
Okay.
One of them since passed away.
Okay.
I did the 30th by myself. I did the 35th by myself. When I did the 40th, I brought Horrorhound in to help run it. Because I'm just, as what I do for a living, I'm just too busy. I don't have time to put on a convention, nor do I want to put on a convention. Plus, personally, I feel it's a conflict of interest that an agent is putting on a convention. It's like double dipping.
Right? Absolutely.
So, just for the record, like the Halloween convention, the 40th, the 45th, I didn't make a single penny off of the door, off of ticket sales. I gave that all to Horrorhound and Trankus, who owns the Halloween license. They were partnered on that. I made my money off my clients there.
Gotcha.
And my bus tours for the Horrors Hall Grounds tours. And that, you know, that's more than enough.
Yeah.
I don't need to double dip and make money from the door, from the fans, and then money at the table from the fans. It's, you know, it's unnecessary, and it's a conflict.
Right.
Now. Although some people do that. I'm not going to name names, but some people do that.
It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. What do you think of the new Halloween franchise, about Miramax getting all the rights to that?
I think it's great. I mean, I'm always up for new movies from any of the franchises. I mean, you can't taint what's already there. There's, you know, people lost their minds when they remade Psycho and did a shot for shot. Well, it's like, who cares? The original's still there. You can always watch that. They're going to remake Halloween long after you and I are dead.
Absolutely.
It's like Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman. It's going to continue way beyond us.
Yeah.
Michael Myers has become one of those icons.
Absolutely.
So it's sad to think that after we're dead, there's still going to be Halloween movies or Friday the 13th movies we won't ever get to see. But, you know, it's cool. I'm down for the more the merrier, man.
Are you excited about the prequel for the Halloween 3 Season of the Witch to come out? Paramount is doing a prequel to that.
This is news to me. I haven't heard that.
Okay. But yeah, they're doing a...
You sure that's not just a crazy rumor? I haven't heard it.
Really? If you haven't heard it, it could be a crazy rumor. Yeah. I got excited for it, but...
I know there's a lot of fan film stuff, but I'm down for anything, especially Halloween 3. I'm a huge Halloween 3 fan. So I would love to see a prequel, a sequel, anything. Let's get a sequel before it's too late. Atkins is still around.
Yeah.
He's 84. Let's get him out there to play Dr. Chalice one more time.
I agree with that 100%.
He could still bed some ladies at 84.
Oh, absolutely. I bet he would get more ladies at 84.
Yeah, the silver fox, that mustache. Come on.
I agree. So the most important question I have for you is, what is your favorite scary movie?
Oh, The Shining.
The Shining? Oh, yeah. Okay, we have not heard that one yet.
Yeah, that's my all-time favorite horror film.
Okay.
Yeah, Kubrick, you can't beat Kubrick. And then my favorite film is Clockwork Orange.
Really? Okay.
So it's a double dose of Kubrick.
I saw Clockwork Orange when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And that tripped with my head. I was like, I definitely should not be watching this.
Oh yeah, you probably shouldn't be.
Especially at that age, I was like 11 years old, and I was like, no, this is probably not a good one.
Yeah, I just did a Horrors Hall Grounds episode on Clockwork Orange. Went over to the UK, found all the locations. That was a labor of love that took a long time, but finally done.
On your YouTube, how do you pick your videos? How do you say, oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that?
I, you know what? I just do what I feel like, you know. I mean, that's the thing. My YouTube channel, a lot of people's YouTube channels, YouTubers, vloggers, whatever you want to call them, it's their business. That's how they make their money.
Right.
That's not me. I mean, I do it as a hobby.
Right.
Know? This is my business, I'm doing right now.
Right.
So all the stuff that I put on my channel is literally love.
It's
stuff I'm passionate about. So people will message me all the time and go, bro, do a Ghoulies Horrors Hall Grounds. I'll be like, not really a Ghoulies fan. So I'm not going to do it just because you want to see it. I have to want to do it.
Right.
I have to be a fan of it. You know, when people, a lot of the comments I love to read on my videos is, unlike a lot of other YouTubers, we can tell you're passionate about, because we see the excitement and they love watching me get excited when I'm finding stuff, you know, and because it's genuine, you know, and I think that's what people really appreciate about my channels. Everything I'm doing is genuine.
Right.
It's not forced. It's not like, oh, shit, I got to make a video today. I got to get the clicks. I got to get my numbers up.
Right, right.
I don't care about that. I'm all about just doing what I want for fun. And I get excited that other horror fans enjoy it. When they come up to me, a guy's coming up to me yesterday, dude, your new Near Dark episode was so epic, man. I love that movie. It was so cool to see all that. That makes me excited. You know, I love to hear that. That's why I do it. You know what I mean?
Are you married?
So, I pretty much am. I've been engaged for, 4 years. My fiance is working at Matthew Lillard's table right now.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, she's basically my business partner now. We run Convention All-Stars together.
Okay.
Yeah, and... there's no reason we haven't gotten married other than just neither of us are religious. Neither of us really care about a big wedding or anything. She's just like, I just wanted to get engaged. I wanted the ring. And, you know, we pretty much tell each, you know, we
say you're married.
It's my wife or whatever. Yeah, but, you know, all it is a contract. I've already been through one divorce.
Right, right.
You know, I'm not in any hurry to get into another contract if things were to go sideways one day. But no, I mean, if she wanted to get married tomorrow, we probably would just go down to the courthouse and do it. I mean,
that makes sense.
But yeah, I mean, it doesn't change anything. We live together, we work together, we do everything together.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So where's your next con after this?
My next one that I physically have to go to, because I have people next weekend in Astronomicon in Detroit, but I won't be there. My next one I'll physically be at is Calgary Fan Expo in Calgary, Canada.
In Canada, okay.
Yeah, and then the weekend after that, I believe, is Osaka, Japan.
How long of a flight is that?
From California, it's about, I want to say it's about 12 hours.
Is it a three-day con?
It is.
Okay. Yeah. But I'm sure you have to go there a couple days early to set up.
Yeah, I would leave on Wednesday, arrive on Thursday, start the show on Friday, come back Monday, and coming back, you gain time back. So
okay.
You almost get back around the same time you left
okay.
on Monday.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's brutal, though.
I can imagine that. Do you like the food over there? Have you been there to this one before?
I haven't been to this particular show. I've been to Osaka. I've been to Tokyo a few times. This is probably my fifth event in Japan. And, I mean, the hard part is the language barrier. And,
yeah.
And not knowing exactly. I'm a very picky eater.
Yeah.
And I don't like seafood.
Okay. Well, that's definitely the wrong place to go.
Yeah. So if I need help ordering from places I don't know. I'm the kind of guy that'll go to Japan and try to find the McDonald's. You know what I mean? Just to be safe.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, oh man, I don't want to risk. I don't know what that is. You know, but Norman, total opposite. Norman lived in Japan for like 7 years.
Okay.
Back like in his earlier days. And so he's all about crazy, like sea urchin and all kinds of octopus. He had me try. He's like tried to get me to eat, I think, sea urchin, which is one, if it's not cooked properly, it's poisonous.
Uh-huh.
It was so gross, man. I was like, I tried it because he just wouldn't leave me alone about it. But yeah, I'm not a fan.
Did you finish The Walking Dead? Did you finish the whole series?
The original series, yes.
How did it end?
Lamely.
Because we got up to season 9 and then life got in. But I've been wondering, how did they end this? But they have so many spinoffs now.
Yeah.
Like the ones that live with Michonne and Rick, and then Norman has his own show now.
Carol Dixon, and then Fear just ended. Fear of the Walking Dead ended. But then there's Dead City with Negan and.
Right. I know that's Maddie. Like their universe. If they ended it, everything had to end, and they're going to keep that thing going.
Yeah.
But did you like the ending, though? No?
Of the regular series?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Okay.
It didn't really end because, like you said, there's so many spinoffs. It was like just an ending of an episode.
Right.
It didn't really end.
Well, we were expecting, like, civilization would come back, you know. Yeah. Things would build back up.
The one thing that there was this really cool moment in the last episode where Rosita had her baby like strapped to her, and she was climbing up the side of this wall, and there's like a horde of zombies underneath her, and she loses her grip and she falls in slow motion into the zombies, and I was like, and they all engulfed her. And I was just like, that is badass. Like, they killed the baby, they killed her. That was badass.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, fights her way out and climbs out and saves the baby. I'm like, bullshit. That's when they lost me. I'm like, dude, you guys could have had a cool ending there. That's how it should have went down. Brutal, killed the baby, killed her. But no, they did the usual Hollywood bullshit. This 90-pound girl jumped up and was able to fight off a horde of zombies. I'm like, come on, man.
No, I gotcha.
That was the other thing. The biggest disappointment of the ending of the series was not enough main characters died. Hardly anybody died.
It was like,
really? Come on.
No, I gotcha. You know? being with Norman, I figured you'd be a fan of the show. That's why I wanted to get your opinion.
I was a big fan, just like everybody. But, you know, honestly, I got burned out on it.
Yes.
And it got to the point where I felt like I was watching the show just because I work with these people.
Right.
And I needed to watch it.
Right. I agree with you 100%. We just kind of got burnt out. It was, yeah, especially the second season. They were all at that farm. Do you know why they had to do that? Because they ran out of budget. They spent their budget elsewhere. That's why they shot everything on one farm.
Makes sense.
But I feel like if you can game through the second season, you'll be fine. Where can people find you at?
Well, right now, sitting next to you at
that's where you guys should all be. But I mean online, socials, and all that.
On Instagram and X, formerly known as Twitter, it's at Malfunction, which is also at Malfunction on YouTube. But now I've changed the channel name to just be Sean Clark.
Okay.
But it's at Malfunction. And then on Facebook, it's, I think, facebook.com/ Sean Clark Official.
Okay.
But a lot of people try to friend request me at my personal Facebook, but it's been like at its limit for years. But I always leave a couple off there so people can at least send me a request.
You're right.
But it's like you got to go to the other one, really.
I gotcha.
Because I don't have no space.
I gotcha. I'm going to ask you to do one favor for me.
Okay.
Can you do a drop for me? Can you say your name and you're listening to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast?
Absolutely. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Am I doing it to camera?
You can do it to camera or you can do it in the mic, whatever.
I'll do it in the mic at camera.
Great.
All right. Hey, this is Sean Clark from Horrors Hollow Grounds and the Thing with Two Heads podcast. And you're listening to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman. Just don't try.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you so much for being on, and we'll definitely tag you in all this.
You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast is produced and hosted by Robbie and Sammy Brooksby as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Podcast Network. Post-production and intro by Sammy Brooksby. Follow the show on Instagram at BoogeymanPod. You can also follow the Limitless Broadcasting Company at Limitless Broadcasting and your horror hosts at Robert 1950 Studios and at The Samalam. We also have a TikTok at 1950 Studios. Email your creepy comments and spooky suggestions to us at boogeymanpod@gmail.com. Don't forget, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Have a horrific week!